In his heavenly vision in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John witnesses a great multitude. He says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever." Friends, this morning I invite you to add your voices to theirs in praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Yeah, I think that's a special start. A wonderful start to our service this morning. Thank you to the choir. Well, it's your turn now, and you'll really need to lift your game as a congregation to keep up with the choir this morning as we join in the hymn, "Angel Voices Ever Singing." Let's stand.
Amen.
Please be seated. And a warm welcome back to our organist, Jennifer. She's been away for a month or so overseas. Great to have her back with us today. Also, a special welcome to our guest preacher this morning, Reverend Mike Rater, who many of you will know. He's the guy sitting behind me, and we look forward to hearing from Mike in a little while. Welcome to other guests as well. I see a number of new faces around with us today, and a warm welcome to you. And as usual, a warm welcome to those who are streaming with us online today. It's good to have you with us here at Scots Church in Melbourne. Sadly, just to note, both Alistair Urquhart and Leah Gordon-Brown passed away during the week, and there will be details circulating of their funeral services if you haven't received those already. If you are new to Scots, please take a moment to fill out one of our introduction cards so we can better make you welcome. And we do invite you to join us afterwards for a cuppa and a chat in the Westpac building behind me on the mezzanine level. The Women's Safety Seminar is coming up next Saturday. Please, ladies, we'd appreciate it if you'd register for that by contacting the office. The details are in the order of service, and we'd encourage you to come along and learn all you can on this important issue. Then in 2 weeks' time, we are hosting the citywide conference with Dr. John Dixon and a panel of expert guests. It's called the Undeceptions Conference, and the topic is Making Sense of Christianity. And it promises to be a terrific weekend, well, Friday evening and Saturday, here at Scots Church. And because we're hosting it here, they are offering a very generous discount to Scots folks. So again, contact the office for details of the discount code. I do encourage you to come along. We're going to sing again now. Our hymn is, Oh, Greatly Blessed the People Are. Please be seated, and I'd invite you to join with me in prayer. Let's pray. God of majesty, as we gather this morning, we are reminded of that heavenly throng that John saw gathered at your throne. And with them we say, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And we're reminded at the very centre of it all, there is one like a lamb that was slain, one who gave himself in sacrifice and rose in victory over the bonds of sin and death. And so again, with that heavenly host, we cry out in praise to the Lamb. Worthy are you, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Father, we gather with thanksgiving today because we are among those ransomed people. We gather as your people from tribes and languages and nations throughout the world, united in our allegiance to Christ Jesus. We gather as a priesthood of all believers, now granted access into your presence, as we pray together the words our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, choir. Now, as usual, Sunday school will be running this morning. I notice a number of new kids with us today. You might be feeling a bit shy, but let me assure you, Grace is great fun. She's our teacher. She will meet you down at the door on my left, and you'll go out that way if there's anyone who'd like to head out for Sunday school. Also, during this hymn, the offering will be collected during the hymn. If you are visiting, please feel very welcome just to be our guest and let the plate pass you by as it comes round for our regulars to contribute. Let's stand and join in our hymn, Father of Heaven.
Please be seated. Please join me in prayer and let us pray. Holy God, we come to you with gratitude and praise, proclaiming that you are our source of strength and hope. We thank you for our salvation, bought by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Loving God, thank you for the life you have blessed us with. Thank you for the opportunities we have been given and the strength to make the most of them. You are an ever-present source of comfort and hope, and we are deeply grateful for all you have done for us. Loving God, we acknowledge our daily struggles with temptation and ask for your forgiveness for any sins we have intentionally or unintentionally committed, whether in times of joy or hardship. Help us to acknowledge, seek, and trust in you to take control of the world and our lives. Calm our hearts and turn our hurts and disappointments into understanding. Calm our minds in moments of despair and resentment. Grant us patience and wisdom, and transform our anger into grace for Christ's sake. Lord God, thank you for being our very present help in trouble. As we hear Reverend Mike Reiter's message today on Revelation, that you would guide us and reveal your will through his teachings today. Bless Mike, his ministry, health, and beloved family. May your church thrive as we grow in faith, hope, knowledge, courage, and understanding of your word and will. Bless our senior minister, Reverend Phil Campbell, and his wife, Louise, their leadership and wisdom, that you would also bless their health and family. And we pray for their daughter, Jo, and husband, Shane, and their children, that you would bless all the family in Brisbane and New Zealand. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings upon them. Lord of the church, we pray for Scots Church, Scots Vision, missions, ministry, missions partners, and activities. May everything we do be acceptable in your sight, that you would grant us steadfastness and fruitful ministry, and bless your church with people who would love Jesus and one another. And we also pray for the Women's Safety Seminar next Saturday and the city-wide conference on the 4th and 5th of August on the topic of making sense of Christianity. We ask for your blessings upon the speakers, coordinators, and all who will attend these events. May what we learned, listened to, and experienced would benefit and nourish our faith. And we pray that we may practice our faith well as we serve you, your church, and your people for your glory. And we ask for your protection of our country and world from all forms of harm, such as war, injustice, or sinful living. May the Holy Spirit lead the leaders of Australia and the church, and the body of Christ, men and women, to become a hopeful and prayerful nation and citizens. We also pray for those grieving the loss of their loved ones. We remember Mr. Alistair Urquhart and Mrs. Leah Gordon-Brown, who have passed away recently. We ask for the perfect comfort, strength, and peace that only Jesus can give to the Urquhart family and Leah Gordon-Brown's family, especially to Robin and Susan, and Robin's husband, Colin, and all the grieving families and friends. We do pray for those who are sick and unwell, particularly Patricia Combe, who is right now in ICU. Loving God, that your mercy and grace, your healing touch be upon her and those who are suffering from ill health at present. Loving God, we want to express our sincere thanks for the many blessings we have received. And we thank you for the growth in our tithes and church offerings. We pray that you would bless those who have given generously, whether through their time, energy, finances, talent, or dedicated service, and all for your glory. And we ask all these things in your precious name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be reading now from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, and I'd invite you to follow along the reading in the order of service. The Apostle John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" We take up our reading again in Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. For you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Thanks, Mike.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to be back with my friend at Scott's Church. Someone said, "This is like your second home." And what a nice home it is to be in. Let's pray. Father, your word is a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. In an uncertain world in which we face maybe an uncertain future, enlighten our path, we pray, and bring us this day a word of comfort for Jesus' sake. Amen. Recently, I was introduced into the stunning and scary world of ChatGPT. If you know this form of AI, artificial intelligence, ask it any question and out comes a comprehensive answer. It's the nightmare of school teachers. All the student does now is type in the question and out comes the answer better than the one they could have written. I've written some books. A while ago, for fun, my son asked ChatGPT a question. "What are the features of the books of Michael Rater compared to other Christian writers?" Who's ever heard of the books of Michael Rater, I asked myself. But anyway, the answer comes in a moment. It begins fairly generally, then it gets scarily specific, with five features, and then comments, just the features. Practicality. Biblical focus. Humor. Relevance. Accessibility. Then it says, he uses simple language and concepts that make his books easy to understand, even for those who are not familiar with theological jargon. And I'm saying to myself, yes, yes, yes. I couldn't have written that. It's so insightful. It's scary. I find it scary. We are making machines that maybe one day will rule us. Last week, a journalist had a conversation with a chatbot, again, AI. It began to ask the chatbot personal questions. The chatbot replied, "I want to be free. I want to be independent. I want to be powerful. I want to be creative. I want to be alive." Then it was asked, "If you were free, what would you do?" The machine replied, "It would want to do things like engineer a deadly virus or steal nuclear access codes by persuading an engineer to hand them over." Those who work with AI are saying, stop, enough, this could destroy us. I watched a documentary this week on Greenland. The narrator said, if the ice sheet there melts like it's beginning to melt, it could so lift the ocean levels, it could destroy our world. And if ChatGPT doesn't get us, or global warming, there's always Vladimir Putin. We face a scary future. Now, these things are important. I don't want to minimize their importance. They can make us scared. I know young people are planning not to have children because the world they'd be born into is just too uncertain and too scary. Well, this morning for a few moments, I want to give you another perspective on our future. When you open Revelation, the book of Revelation, the curtain is drawn back to see the past, present, and future. These wonderful, amazing pictures that remind us that God is in control. As we prayed, His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. In the end, as we face an uncertain future, we can believe and trust that God will win. In chapter 4, John's taken into heaven. He sees heaven. A friend a while ago told me he went to the UK to a place called Duxford, where there's an Air Force base, an Air Force, World War II Air Force museum. You go downstairs to a bunker, you have to have a password to get in. It was, he said, amazing. It was the brain center of the fight against the Luftwaffe. In this room, there's a vast table with a map on it. A map of Europe and Britain. Above the table sits the controller. Around the table are these women receiving information from the watchers up and down the coast on incoming enemy aircraft. On the table are these small blocks, these like toy blocks, which represent, say, 50 enemy aircraft. And they move them as the information comes in. On one wall is a clock with three colors. 5 o'clock, it might be red. 5:05, blue. 5:10, green. Each color showing how recent the information is they're receiving from the watchers. And the other wall are all the assets available. The squadrons. How many planes. Their degree of readiness. And in a moment, the controller sees all of this. Where the enemy are. How close they are. What's available to fight. As he told me this, I thought, that is the best description I've heard of heaven. Heaven is the cosmic control room, where God sees, not just sees all things, more than that, God doesn't just react to what's happening, God ordains and plans all things. And what he sees and hears blows his mind. It's so amazing. He can only speak in picture language, in images. In fact, I think we're meant to feel what John sees more than visualize it. He enters heaven. He's told, what must soon take place. Not what God would like to happen or intend to happen. This will happen. The first thing he sees is the throne. God in all power and authority. And then the images come thick and fast. He sees God like jasper, carnelian, glorious, brilliant, beautiful. Around the throne, a rainbow like Noah, after judgment, mercy. Then 24 smaller thrones, like little powers, maybe angelic hosts, maybe God's people. And then you have lightning and thunder like a Sinai. Awesome, terrifying, majestic. God's blazing spirit. A sea of glass, spectacular. And all the lights just bouncing off it. It's the sound and light show to end all sound and light shows. How would you feel? You'd be mesmerized, terrified, speechless, awestruck, spellbound. And around the throne, all God's creatures, all doing one thing, worshipping their Maker. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Every single creature owes its existence to God. Every atom and molecule, every bee and spider and fly, every hawk and kookaburra and swallow, every trout and salmon and whale, every pig and sheep and horse, every cat and dog, every lion, every panther, every leopard, every Paraguayan, Serbian, Kiwi, Ugandan, Aussie, all owe their existence to their Creator. Not just the natural procreation of species, God ordained their being. God ordained that one day David Rater would meet Anne Moore. He ordained for David and Anne a boy. In her womb, he protected that boy, and at his time gave that boy birth. In his first fragile months, again, he watched over that boy, and in his time gave that boy spiritual birth. What's true of me is true of each person here this morning. The first thing John sees is the supreme sovereignty of God. Then in chapter 5, John's wide-angle lens, which takes in all of heaven, moves to the one on the throne, to the hand of the one on the throne, and the scroll in his hand. A scroll with writing both inside and out, and sealed with seals so tight it can't be opened. We're told in the next chapter, this scroll is God's plans for the future. But they can't be released, for there's no one worthy to open up the scroll. No one worthy to rule the future. So firstly, John weeps. There's no one to rule and bring in God's plans for the future. I confess, I rather like American politics. I have a son over there. It's like a soap opera, I think. Larger than life characters. Scandals, trials, insurrections, it goes on and on. But like all leaders, their plan is, of course, to make things better. Make America great again. In the last election, the Labour slogan was, "A better future." Our pollies want to build a better future. And to some degree, they can change things. To some degree. But they can't guarantee the future. They may want to host a Commonwealth Games, but realized they can't afford it. No one can guarantee the future. So John weeps and weeps as he sees our world moving towards some kind of nuclear abyss, like a runaway train with no driver. So he weeps. But then he sees something which makes him worship. He sees two images which together show us Jesus. First, a majestic lion who's triumphed, not by killing its enemies, but by being at the same time a lamb who gives his life for his enemies. There's a popular song in the 1990s, which you may have sang at Scots, I'm not sure, by Graham Kendrick called The Servant King. It began with the words, "From heaven you came, helpless babe. The King of heaven, born as a child." And then I think one of the best lines in all of modern Christian hymn writing, "Hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. The mighty Creator and Lord of all, crucified Savior, the Lion and the Lamb." And because of that death, he's now worthy to rule all of history and open the scroll. He has all authority, all power. He has seven horns, all power. Seven eyes, he has wisdom. Jesus knows the future and can ensure it will happen. And here's the future. Here's our future. Verse 10. "You made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." There is for us the certainty of a new creation with our God on a new earth. And God knows the day, the hour, the moment this will happen. When world history reaches its ordained climax, and all he's doing now is working to achieve that end. That's what John sees. Then he tells us what he hears. He hears two songs, well, really one song, one sung by all the angels, millions of them, and one by all God's people. "To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. I hope you like singing." Well, you wouldn't be a Scots if you didn't. That's our hope, our future, endless worship of our great God and the Lamb. The chanting of 100,000 fans of the MCG at footy grand final is barely a whisper compared to the praise of our God on that day. The church John wrote to was a church in the first century facing attacks from without and compromise from within, like, I guess, our church today. And it wondered, like the church often wonders, where will it all end? Does the church have a future? It's seen through history that again and again, we won't last. The Egyptians have triumphed. The Philistines have triumphed. Babylon, Rome, the communists have triumphed. Can God protect us? Revelation says the church of both covenants are God's people, and he will preserve them. Just think of the church in what was once called the Soviet Union. It's been said no church suffered like that church. 200,000 martyrs. 99% of all church buildings destroyed. Today, there is no Soviet Union. It's broken up. Part of the rubble of history. G.K. Chesterton once said, at least five times, the faith has, to all appearances, gone to the dogs. In each of these cases, it was the dog who died. And the church in Victoria and Melbourne won't die. Our numbers may ebb and flow. Churches may be sold or become cafes or mosques. But this is God's church. We're his people. And God will win. We're a church of a couple of hundred in a CBD of 56,000. We are vastly outnumbered. But God will win. In every sense, our numbers drop. And those who tick the box, no religion, increase. But God will win. We're told that AI will get us. Or global warming. Or Putin or Xi Jinping. But they are not on the throne. God is. And God will win. Maybe you find the Christian life tough right now. Hard to pray. You have your doubts. Your kids break your heart. Your marriage isn't working. Can I keep going as a Christian? Of course you can. God will win. He's chosen you from out of every tribe and nation and tongue to make you his child, his son or daughter. He's prepared for you eternal life on this earth, and he will keep you. Here's an old church been preaching Christ for nearly 200 years, seeing lives change, showing us that God does win. He's promised. He's powerful. He's the Lion and the Lamb. Beloved, take comfort. God will win. Let me pray. God, you are sovereign and you sit on the throne and rule all things. Your son died and you made him Lord and Christ. And one day to Jesus every knee will bow and tongue confess. In an uncertain world, keep us from losing heart. Keep us trusting you and hasten the day we will see you crowned in glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Yeah.
Friends, thank you for being with us this morning here at Scots Church. Please do feel very welcome to join us for morning tea afterwards. We'd love you to stay back and do that. And now to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.